Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a moment, I'll read an email we received from someone out there in the Midwest about the show we did on Dr. Dobson and his pledge. Dr. Dobson made a pledge, and it appears that he has indicated that he's ready to break that pledge. So that email comes from a Neil Copley in Indiana. So we'll get to that in a moment. Clear Channel Radio says they are launching a 900 station online radio network. 900 station online radio network. Clear Channel is the largest radio group in the country. And you know where their name comes from? Clear Channel? Where does that come from? Well, stations that have a lot of power, you know, at night, AM stations go a lot further. They bounce off the ionosphere. They could go halfway across the continent or more. And then they would conflict with each other, like radio stations in Phoenix conflicting with ones in Pittsburgh, and you have static. So a clear station, a clear frequency, means that at night you don't have to power down. You could keep your full power, say 50,000 watts, and then people in maybe 20 or 30 states will be able to hear you. You're the blowtorch of the Rocky Mountains or something like that. And so Clear Channel, it's a great name for a radio group. Clear Channel says they're going to launch a 900 station online radio network. That's interesting, no? And then this just in, don't throw away your vote, right? Don't waste your vote. Barack Obama's lead over John McCain has settled in at 8%, a 48 to 40% margin among registered voters in Gallup's daily tracking poll conducted July 25th through the 27th. That's the last 3 days. And so what does that mean to those who say, don't waste your vote, don't throw away your vote? What if Obama is the clear winner? What if Obama overwhelmingly is going to win? The day before, you got to vote for Obama, right? You don't want to throw away your vote. Don't waste your vote. Why would you vote for somebody you know is going to lose? Don't waste your vote. So Obama gained ground over McCain in each of the last three tracking polls, but now it's settled in at about 8%. And the boost that he's received over the past week, 10 days, was coincident with his highly visible foreign tour. And so now to those who say, don't waste your vote, if the polls show that Obama is the clear winner, you have to vote for Obama, right? Like last fall in Colorado, when pro-abortion Democrat Bill Ritter was so obviously going to win the Colorado governor's race, and he did, and it was obvious. So then you got to vote for Bill Ritter, right? The pro-abortion Democrat, Bill Ritter, because you don't want to throw away your vote. So let's say it's the day before the election in November and Obama, hands down, is going to win. Do you vote for Barack Obama? You don't want to throw away your vote, do you? You know what the Bible says. It says, thou shalt not throw away your vote. So I think you're stuck. And what does it say in Ecclesiastes 9:11? It says it's a two-party system. You got to vote for somebody. And Ecclesiastes 9:11. So why do you think the Herodians had such a big following? Right? It was a two-party system. Either the Herodians or the rabble-rousers. You had to take your pick. As for me and my family, we will serve the Herodians. And so this is, yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be nice. Somebody in the studio audience, a rabble-rouser, is saying, I wish we had a two-party system. Yeah, you have Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B. Pro-choice Party A and pro-choice Party B. Pro-choice Supreme Court nominees A and pro-choice Supreme Court nominees B. Actually, R and D. Now, here's an email from a listener in Indiana, and it's about the just devastating show we did last week. Dr. Dobson is set to violate the oath he took before God. And that's it's just a devastating thing to think through. And all those Christians who are calling on Dr. Dobson, knowing full well he made that pledge, and they want him to endorse a candidate, and thereby he will violate the pledge he made before God. But so here's an email from Neil Copley. Hey, Bob Enyart, I remember hearing Dr. Dobson make that pledge. I was a fairly new Christian at that time, and I thought it would be neat to make the same pledge at the same time. So I did. Remember what it was. Dr. Dobson invoked the name of God. He said, for as long as God lets me live on this earth, I will never vote for a candidate who is willing to kill a single innocent child. Simple pledge. And so Neil from Indiana says, I thought it would be neat to make that same pledge at the same time, so I did. Right now, I'm thinking it would be interesting to stand before the Lord at the same time as Dr. Dobson. Now, he has certainly brought thousands of people to Christ, and I have only helped a few dozen. And I certainly have my problems in my life otherwise. But I have not violated my pledge to never again knowingly vote for a politician who is willing to let a single child die, willing to kill a single child. Dr. Dobson is not only violating his vow, but furthermore, he does so publicly and encourages everyone within the sound of his voice to do the same. I wonder how many other people took his pledge. Think about it. He spoke before over 100,000 people on the Mall. It was a massive group. And they were all exhilarated at the thought of a powerful leader, a man of God, saying he would never again vote for a candidate who's willing to kill a single innocent child. I wonder how many other people took his pledge, and now he is encouraging them to violate their own word to God as well. How does God feel about someone breaking their promise to him? Praise the Lord for the knowledge that life is not a game. Both words and actions have consequences, and that it is never the wrong time to do the right thing. Thank you also, Bob, for being a willing and forceful messenger. Neil Copley, Indianapolis. Now, normally we don't give people's last names, but I think Neil is the keyboardist for the Indianapolis Ice. They're their minor league hockey team. He plays at one of their coliseums. It's pretty cool. It's just pretty extraordinary. So that's an honor to get that email from Neil. We have been receiving sheets for the American Right to Life Sheets of Shame Project from about a dozen states. And we have received, and we've also purchased sheets. A supplier has provided sheets. And we have hundreds and hundreds of sheets. We could use about 100 more by Thursday, about 100 more sheets. So if you're able to, white sheets, please get them to American Right to Life downtown. American Right to Life, they're about a half a block from the Capitol on Grant Street. You could call them 1-888-888-ARTL, 1-888-888-ARTL, American Right to Life. Okay. So please feel free to call in if you'd like to talk about any of these crucial issues we have been discussing, the battle over homosexuality that the Christians are currently losing, and the criminalization of Christian teaching that's happened in Colorado, and the the resistance of certain Christian ministries to even acknowledge that we passed a law in Colorado banning books on Christian teaching on sexual morality. Some ministries will only refer to the bathroom bill. It's the bathroom bill. Just the bathroom bill that men can go into the ladies' bathroom. That's true in Colorado. Senate Bill 200 passed. Governor pro-abortion, Governor Bill Ritter signed this Senate Bill 200 into law weeks ago. And Section 6 basically states men could go into the ladies' bathroom if they're feeling feminine that day. If they're having a bad gender day, they could go into the ladies' bathroom, locker room, so on. And, of course, healthy men will not do that, but you'll have predators take advantage of this. Predators will take advantage of this law and go into ladies' rooms with, you know, no fear of reprisal, or at least with a good supposed defense. Senate Bill 200 says I can go in the ladies' room anytime I want to if they get caught. So they go in and with no fear. And even if they get caught, they have Bill Ritter to appeal to that it's legal. And, of course, healthy men will not do that, but perverts will, predators will, and men who are trying to confuse the culture about what it means to be a boy or a girl, they will go in there. And men who are confused themselves, they will go in there. So great tragedy. And some ministries are willing to talk about Section 6 of Senate Bill 200, but not Section 8. Why is that? Why? Section 8 literally says that books that would discriminate on the matter of homosexuality are banned. I mean, it says that. And so why would they? And many people think the Bible discriminates on the basis of homosexuality. Now, some people say it doesn't, but somewhere in the Bible, somewhere in there, it's right there. I bet you I could find it if I looked. Somewhere in there, it says that if a man lie with a man, as with a woman, they shall both be put to death. Now, to quote Kevin Swanson of Czech, to quote Pastor Kevin Swanson, who's on the radio in Colorado, in fact, on KLTT, the same station we're on, he said, I have a hunch that there might be some people out there who might think that that would be a tad bit discriminatory to say if a man lie with a man as with a woman, they should both be put to death. Some people might think that advocates discrimination. I don't know, maybe you don't, but some people would think it does. And so a couple weeks after Governor Bill Ritter signed Senate Bill 200, it's in the news all over the country. There's a homosexual that has sued two Bible publishers because the Bible discriminates against homosexuals. And so we have some ministries, like, for example, Focus on the Family. They have been running ads all over the state. And I'm glad they're calling attention to Senate Bill 200. But they've said it's the bathroom bill. That's it. That's it. It's the bathroom bill. That's Section 6 of the bill. The bill is 20 pages long. Section 8 bans books. It says books. It bans books that would discriminate on the basis of homosexuality. So why can't that be talked about? Why do we have to pull? It's like pulling teeth. Why do we have to beg Focus on the Family? We're a small voice. They're a big voice. Why do we have to beg them to say, Dr. Dobson, please warn the body of Christ that the state of Colorado just passed a law that bans Christian teaching on homosexuality? Now, I know the answer to my question, but I don't want to give it. Maybe somebody out there knows the answer. Why will Focus on the Family not tell people about Section 8 of the bill? Section 8 is the dangerous part. It's the worst part. It makes the bathroom part look like a bathroom part. This part is censorship. It bans Christian teaching on homosexuality. So, and we're thankful that many Christian ministries have now acknowledged that this is an egregious censorship bill against Christian teaching. And even against the Bible. as we have state legislators who have said, yeah, if you take this bill at face value, it says it's illegal to publish a book that would be considered discriminatory against homosexuals. Not only a book, but any of a thousand other ways of disseminating information are illegal. Websites and pamphlets and flyers and advertisements and broadcast and on and on and on. Okay. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. If you think you understand these issues, or if you have any questions, or if you disagree, then this news out of Anchorage, Alaska, it's been chilly up there. In fact, Alaska is set for their coldest summer on record. Their coldest summer on record. They have, here's how they measure it in Alaska. Anchorage, for example, how many days of the year do they hit 65 degrees? And they don't hit 65 degrees in the winter, just in the summer. And they're looking to have the coldest summer ever. Now, they might not, because weather changes. But the summer of 2008 is on pace to produce the fewest days ever recorded in which the temperature in Anchorage managed to reach only 65 degrees. Right now, the record currently was set back in 1970 when it made it to 65 degrees only 16 days out of 365. So 16 days during the summer. This year, 2008, with the summer more than half over, there have only been seven such days. Seven. So they're on track for 13 or 14 warm days, warm being 65 degrees, which would make this the coldest month in Alaska on record. And that would be a trip. Wouldn't that just be a trip? There's a study at the University of Texas, and if anybody knows about global warming, it'd be Texas. And they say more Americans, this is funny, this is the kind of circular reasoning that alarmists are famous for. They say more Americans are likely to suffer from kidney stones in the coming years as a result of global warming, according to researchers at the University of Texas. And so a professor of urology there says this study is one of the first examples of global warming causing a direct medical consequence for humans. That's so funny. Now, humans are not having more kidney stones from global warming. They did a study and they said perhaps Americans will suffer more kidney stones from global warming, perhaps, in the coming years. And then they say this study is one of the first examples of global warming causing a direct medical cause. No, it's not an example. It hasn't happened. It's a prediction. It's a prediction. And temperatures increase a half a degree and they decrease. It gets warmer and it gets colder. Mars warmed up a bit over the last few years because the sun got a little bit warmer. Not because of SUVs. There are, a couple SUVs on Mars? Oh, yeah, but they don't emit any greenhouse gases. So, just too much. So, our end of the world doomsayer prophets are liberals, and it's been liberals for quite a long time. Now, I know Christians have that rap of being, standing on a street corner with a sign, the end is near. The end is near. And Christians have been doing that for a long, long, long time. And, in the first century, the Christians believed that Jesus was coming back quickly, so quickly that they sold all their homes and their land because he had promised them that he would come back quickly. But some things changed. Some things did change during the course of the New Testament. And in the book of Acts, they did sell their homes and their land because they were expecting the soon return of the Lord. But we have the book of Acts and we have the book of Romans, and we see what happened. We see what happened in the history, the first century history of the followers of Christ. There were significant changes in the story. We call it the plot of the Bible. And that's the book, My Life's Work, The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible. And that's what's, in fact, kept us on the air for the last 10 years or so. And people read that and they thank us and are thrilled that they now feel like they understand the Bible, which is, it's thrilling to hear. But there was a change. And because of that change, that's affected our understanding now of prophecy. And many prophecies in the Bible were conditional. God said, this is conditional. For example, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. There's an implied condition, unless they repent. If they repent, I won't destroy them. And they did repent, and God did not destroy them. So we need to be wise as Christians in all these areas. Let's go to the phones in Colorado Springs. Paul, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. Just wanted to donate some sheets.
All right.
You know, I've been hearing you for quite a while. It sounds like a really great cause.
Yeah, it really is, Paul. We have the Sheets of Shame. American Right to Life has formed the DNC Welcoming Committee. And right. They are collecting 700 sheets, and it's a really fun project.
Now, you're not letting out what they're doing with those, are you?
No.
Kind of a surprise gig.
Yeah, right. It's fun. You know, it's the mystery guest at a party.
Right on. Okay, well, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right, how are you going to get them to us?
I'm just going to donate $50 for...
Oh, isn't that...
They're $4 to $5 a piece.
Isn't that wonderful? Thank
you. Well, I've been listening to you guys a long time, and you really got a online program going there, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Well, now, when we're done with our call, are you going to want us to take your information, or are you going to call American Right to Life?
Might as well just give it to you if I could.
Okay, so when we're done, I'll put you on hold.
Okay.
Okay, so Paul, then anything else?
I'm kind of wondering what's up with Focus in this issue, why they're doing what they're doing.
With Senate Bill 200.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, are they openly supporting homosexuality now?
No, they're not.
I didn't think they were.
No, but Senate Bill 200, well, brother, there's a story there to that issue, but let's stick with Senate Bill 200. Senate Bill 200 has 20 sections in it, and one of the sections indicates that men could go into the women's bathroom
if
they view themselves as female.
Right.
So it's your own perception of your gender.
Right.
And that includes bathrooms and locker rooms. That's Section 6. Section 8 just comes out verbatim, and it says prohibition of publishing of discriminatory matter.
So why in the world would Focus not bring that up? That doesn't make any sense for their normal stance.
I know, and it's devastating once you think it through. Why would they not be shouting from the housetops that in Colorado a law was passed that censors, bans Christian books against homosexuality? Let's say the book says homosexuals should not be allowed to get married.
Bob, they've got to be endorsing it or they would be screaming it.
Well, okay, here's what it is. Way back 17 years ago, Focus on the Family wanted so badly to win an election on Amendment 2.
Uh-huh.
Amendment 2 said homosexuals could not be a protected class.
Right.
And a protected class, you can't discriminate in hiring or housing, right?
Uh-huh.
So the homosexuals were trying to be listed as a protected class so they could force you to hire them,
right,
and force you to rent your apartment upstairs to them.
Right.
And Christians were saying, we don't want to promote this. This is a destructive lifestyle. We don't want to promote it.
Absolutely.
And so Amendment 2 was a reasonable effort to thwart the homosexual agenda. And Focus on the Family supported it back then. Now, we've been told at a meeting at Focus on the Family by their VP, Tom Minnery, that they would not now support Amendment 2. Their position has changed in the last 17 years. And that's what happens when you don't have a solid rock of a foundation. Your position changes with the culture. Well, to win that election, Paul, their slogan was equal rights for homosexuals. That was Focus on the Family's slogan. Dr. Dobson said it 100 times, equal rights for homosexuals, but not special rights.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know, because for 3,500 years, homosexuality was a crime.
Exactly. It still is a crime, isn't it, Bob?
Well, yeah, it is.
On the books, but they don't enforce it.
Well, in many states, and according to God, it's a crime. Killing children is a crime to God. Just because we legalize killing Jews or owning blacks doesn't mean it's really legal.
Well, God says he hates it. He hates the shedding of innocent blood.
Right, and it's a crime. Do not murder. Regarding homosexuality, Focus on the Family has legitimized, and I'm speaking very clearly here, they have legitimized homosexuality. Legitimized means to declare equally valid. They've rejected 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian legal principles and American jurisprudence. They rejected all that, and they've agreed with the humanist, Hollywood, Hillary, and the homosexuals in that homosexuality should be legal. So they advocated equal rights, which means no discrimination for homosexuals. So now they're stuck.
So is it just that when these organizations get so big, Bob, that they've got so many people that they're involved with, that they get to the point where they start to break down? Leaders like James Dobson, who we've known, you know, loves the Lord for years.
Yeah, and we love him.
For years, yeah. But now all of a sudden he's starting to crack under the pressure that they're putting on him. These big organizations are probably doing things to him that maybe the average person never hears, never sees, doesn't know.
And well, that's...
Is that what it is, Bob?
Well, I don't know. I'd say that's one part of it, Paul. There are all kinds of factors that lead people to compromise on fundamental morality. Part of it is maintaining a budget and a salary structure for, you know, $100 million overhead every year. Part of it is surrounding yourselves with lawyers and secular humanist advisors.
Well, that's just it. There you go. And same thing with Big George calling, Islam a religion of peace.
Peace and tolerance.
Yeah. How obvious is that not true?
Right.
You know? But
George W. Bush has basically praised the Quran and even Allah and Muhammad and Islam way more than Christianity. I don't think ever has he mentioned Jesus Christ, ever.
Oh, yeah. I remember in his campaign speech, he admitted, he said openly on Kennedy and Combs that he was a born-again Christian, that he had received Jesus as his Savior. I remember seeing it live.
Oh, yeah. That's during the campaign.
Right.
Well, that's during the campaign. That's not
what's
in office.
Afterwards, the whole thing changed.
Yeah, that's Dobson said, we are a mistress to the Republican Party. He admitted it, and he plays the role. Hey, we're out of time, Paul. Thank you. God bless you. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school.